Okay. Confession. I am a firm believer in that painfully cliche phrase, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes I even second guess myself. Do I really think this way, or am I just telling myself this? Is it because I grew up in the Facebook era and was influenced by the corny phrases decorating the oversaturated, awkward preteen selfies on my Facebook feed? Yes, even I was a culprit of these cringeworthy actions. But if that's the case, then I'm sure the ever-popular don't let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game, ; less than 3, and the classic, I'm selfish, impatient, and a little insecure, etc., etc., but if you can't handle me at my worst, blah, 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 and so on, could have played a part in my beliefs. But I know for a fact everything happens for a reason entered my life at some point and really stuck with me. It was a bright and sunny September day, September 30th, 2004 to be exact. I had just gotten off the bus with my older brother. We were greeted by my mother and stepfather, which was kind of strange considering Justin and I would always take the what seemed to be mile-long trek down our driveway by ourselves. Something a 7- and 9-year-old would take much pride in, actually. But I didn't question it. What elementary school kid doesn't love seeing their mother after an excruciating long day of addition, cursive, and learning the 50 states? The usual post-school day Q&A was in action when they sat us down on the side of the driveway. No, they were not abandoning us less than a half a mile outside of our home. I did have a very long driveway, though, and I guess the information that was about to change absolutely every aspect in my short-lived life couldn't wait much longer. I don't remember the exact words, but I do remember that at that very moment, my brother and I learned that my biological father had passed away in a car accident earlier that bright and sunny September day. It's been 10 years, and I finally... I'm not, like, choking up or anything. I'm just, like... And I've learned to deal with it without getting choked up or emotional. My story isn't solely about the passing of my father, but the ways it affected my life in a positive way. That may sound selfish, but of course there was plenty of difficult and extremely negative periods of time following that sunny September Thursday. I'm also a firm believer of finding the good and the bad, even if it may take 8 to 10 years. Anyways, my father dedicated his life, mind, and body to the NFL for 8 years. This was a horrible thing, in my opinion. At first, it may seem glamorous and exciting to grow up under the wing of a Pittsburgh Steeler, and quite honestly, it was. At least for 5-year-old me, a greedy adolescent that wanted every Bratz doll, Barbie doll, Betty Spaghetti, and Polly Pocket imaginable. But with every action comes an equal and opposite reaction. Football ruined my father's mental health in the biggest way imaginable. Unfortunately, this was very apparent to everyone in his last months of his life. CTE is a progressive degenerative disease of the brain found in athletes thanks to repetitive hits to the head and concussions. It basically deteriorates your brain and makes you nothing like yourself. Many athletes, mostly from the 90s, were affected by this disease. My father's death was greatly influenced by this issue. To be quite frank, he was not himself, nor was he right in the head. He attempted to get away from a police officer because he was speeding and went down the wrong side of the highway, which resulted in a fatal collision. But other athletes had it much worse. There have been cases of murder-suicide thanks to CTE. Also, cases of insanity, including one of my father's old teammates pulling his own teeth out and attempting to glue them back in. Scary things like that. Cut to 8 years later. After years of this issue being nearly silent, autopsies and mental health issues in current NFL players are starting to get linked to this issue. Even the NFL knew about it and disregarded it for the sake of good old American pastime that is throwing an inflated pigskin across a huge field of fake grass for drunk dads, teen boys whose brains are fixated on 50% sports and 50% sex, and girls that think football pants are totally hard-eye worthy to spectate and obsess over. I know and I'm very aware that there are respectable people that like to sit back and watch football, but let's be honest, those categories make up a good portion of fans. I'm not saying football is a horrible thing. Hey, I even stop by the living room to sit and eat my body weight in buffalo chicken dip while the game's on. But it hasn't negatively affected my father's life in the biggest way possible, death. Thankfully, this issue is being brought to light with the help of Hollywood. This past summer, a director came to my mother to touch up on the issues of CTE and my father. After learning about the disease and the way it greatly impacts many lives, he became fixated on making a box office movie about it. He eventually asked permission from my mother to use our family name and permission to portray my father, mother, brother, and I in the movie. My mother accepted the offer, not to get a good 15 minutes of fame, but to open this horrible disease and the disgusting and selfish nature of the NFL to the public. Many other NFL players and their families affected by the subject were to be featured as characters in the movie as well. It was very exciting news, though. I, or at least 6-year-old me, am going to be portrayed in an actual movie. And no, this is not where everything happens for a reason comes in. That would be really repulsive of myself. Since my immediate family is involved with the movie, I was given the opportunity to be an extra in a scene. Honestly, the best part of this was getting to miss school for a day. I woke up and started my day off with a cheeseburger from Wendy's, glamorous, I know, and I headed downtown Pittsburgh, where the movie was being filmed. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't extremely intimidated by the whole ordeal. Since I had ties with the movie, I was the only exception of being a minor in the scene. I was given a wardrobe of Leto's Edge t-shirts, sneakers, and flare jeans to go along with the setting of a sports bar in 2004. I was then bussed over to a bar in Oakland where the scene was being filmed. I sat upstairs for a good 2 hours, avoiding contact with any of the other actors for a day. While I was preoccupied with pouring at least 16 mini cups of cream into my coffee, everyone else began to head downstairs to the bar room like cattle in obnoxious Steelers gear. I had to then part with my French vanilla-filled caffeine and become acquainted with a bottle of non-alcoholic beer. Where's Sabrina? I looked around to see the director of the film searching for me. He put me up front with 3 large grown men and 1 woman that had to use a stepping stool to even be visible in the scene. After 3 hours of fake cheering for a rerun of Super Bowl XL and sipping non-alcoholic yeast beverage, we were let off on break while they readjusted some cameras and equipment. While I was cleaning off my face, being the professional actress that I am, I spilt some fake beer all over myself while the cameras were rolling. Don't worry, I'll mention first period creative writing in my Academy Awards speech. I heard an eerily familiar voice. Sabrina. Oh, hey, Will. Long time no see, I retort. Just kidding. I was absolutely speechless when I turned around to see none other than the former Fresh Prince of Bel-Air smiling at me, arms open for a hug. I hugged Will Smith, and we talked about the movie and my father. I'm not sure how he knew my name, but I'm not going to question it. That day was very memorable, to say the least. I was honored to be included in such a unique experience. But the most memorable part of this was the fact that people across the nation will finally learn about the disease that literally drove my father to his death and shed light on how important it is. As I was leaving the set that night, the director called me over and assured me that my father would be so proud of me for being involved in this. Like I said before, everything happens for a reason. My father's death was tragic and heart-wrenching, to say the least. But the impact that his and others' deaths are going to make on the world, other victims and their families will make it a little bit better. No, I'm not saying death is a good thing, but I'm saying that there's always good and the bad, and this good will help so many lives in the future.